Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Good day to you. This is Brad Zockel. You're listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast, and we're back into the Revelation edition of our study. We have been a couple of podcasts away from continuing on in this verse-by-verse walk through Revelation, sort of a guided tour through the verses about eternity. And I thank you so much for being so faithful as to following this. Many people are very much afraid of the book of Revelation, and that's a shame because there's great explanation in here. And as I tell people, the two greatest comforting chapters to me personally is Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22. I mean, this is the end line. This is the finish line. This is the goal of the believer. We're going to be at home with the Lord, and there is a sampling of the glory that is promised to the believer. And I think one of the greatest things that I see there is in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3 that God is going to be dwelling with us on the new earth. Oh, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about that as we approach in just about a week the wonders of Revelation 21 and 22 in multiple podcasts. But for right now, we're finishing up on the judgment on earth, the judgment against the enemies in Revelation chapter 20. You could call Revelation 20 an unofficial title for this chapter of the Great White Throne Judgment chapter. We're moving into that. We're in verse 10 here. First of all, I just want to thank you for your encouragement, for your invitations to different places. Goodness, last year, whenever I decided to just jump in the car and putter around the country by car, I had no idea that our outreach could be so extensive. I have been blessed. Just off the top of my head, I have no notes in front of me. Let me just kind of work around where I have been. Within the past year, I've been in Dayton, Texas. I have been in Hamilton, Alabama, Atmore, Alabama, Salisbury, Maryland, Easton, Maryland, over in Pennsylvania, in Mercer, Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh for a Bible study, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, as well as, Butler, Pennsylvania, and then on through South Carolina. That includes Walhalla, Greer, Simpsonville, Spartanburg here in Greenville, just down from us over in Pickens, South Carolina. And I'm moving into Bradenton, Florida in just a handful of weeks, as well as over in Maryville, Tennessee. Oh yeah, I've already spoken in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Do you see what's happening here in Pound, Virginia, over in Hazard, Kentucky, and into West Virginia? The Lord has just opened up doors, and you have been so helpful in that. Your gifts have helped me fill up the tank of gas or taken care of a hotel where I needed it. Many of the churches have been so kind in hosting, and I've stayed with families, getting to meet a number of my good friends here. And of course, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm going to share it again. When I was in Leeds, Alabama at Bucky's, stopping to top off the tank of gas, and as I was heading back to South Carolina, and when I was in there and went over to get myself a soft drink and move back on through, and somebody started calling. And I turned to take a look, and there was a young lady there, and it looked like she was with her mom. And she said, "Are you that man that talks about heaven on TikTok?" And I said, "Yes, I am." I'm dumbfounded here. I'm in the middle of, nobody I would know in Leeds, Alabama. And she says, "Well, I follow you. Your name's Brad." And I said, "Yes." And oh, that was something else. She says, "Can I take a picture?" And she was with her mom, and they took some pictures, and it was just wonderful. Her name's Kina, and she listens watches on TikTok on a regular basis. I believe she follows some of the podcasting here, but that was very precious in just seeing somebody who, it just reminded me of the reuniting that we'll have in heaven among believers and even people we don't know in heaven. Boy, that was really something else. So thank you so much. I want to thank you as well. As you know, we're approaching 250,000 miles on the old Honda CRV, and the board has given me a very strong hint. We need to be looking for another car. So we started up a car fund, and the wonderful folks in the ministry known as acornglobal.org, Acorn, A-C-O-R-N, acornglobal.org, Dr. Rick Cross said, "Well, look, Brad, if you're in need of that, you've got things you got to do. Why don't we take over the car fund for you? They don't take a penny, friends. Their whole ministry is to help raise funds for projects for other ministries. This is the whole thing they do. And they put it on their site, and so they said, you go ahead and you're giving for your maintenance and your salary and things on, you keep that over with yourself, and then we'll handle this as a separate one. Friends, I just, before I came onto the podcast, I am absolutely stunned when I took a look. We are now at over, well over 87% to our goal of $12,500 for a low-mileage car for me to travel in. We've invested money in the current car, but we've got to keep an eye out. We're at $10,300 in donations from you, and I want to thank you. We might be able to just top this and have that car ready by the end of the summer, because I'm going to put some major miles on in these next couple of months here, and so it's always good to get something ready to go. Thank you so much. AcornGlobal.org is the place for the donations. They're a 501c3. We're a 501c3, and that means we're nonprofit corporations, and that means that you will receive a tax deductible. Your gift is tax deductible, and that's just so, so very helpful. So thank you. In the morning time, I have my live streams on Instagram, and then also at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on TikTok, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, live streaming all 5 days of the week. And boy, it's been so good. We're talking about Revelation. We're going into the book of Revelation here. Revelation chapter 20. Let me read this portion for you. We may only do one verse here, but it's so very important as we talk about this. We're talking about the battle of Armageddon, the area known as Gog and Magog. Now, we see in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, we've talked about that. Of those terms used. They're symbolic. I don't want to go too much into that, but you will see that term being used. Well, now this takes you, when we use these terms here, the gathering together of the battle in the previous verses, and then the battles to begin. They're going up, and I'm going to start reading in Revelation chapter 20, verse 9, and then go to our key verse in verse 10 here. It says that the enemies of the Lord, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, which would be in the New Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, this is telling us something most significant. Let's go into a study here. This is it. So, is this a battle? I don't know if you'd call it a battle. Nothing was ever given by the other side. It's over before it begins. Now, when we look at this, and we're looking at the reference to the saints here, the best we can say right now is this is within the New Jerusalem on earth, and there is the desire of the enemy to put a siege on Jesus, who is living on earth in the millennial kingdom here during this time. And so we see that the idea among the satanic army is to squeeze them out, is to go around. Well, if we can go after the capital, we can take down the rest of the nation of Christians, if you want to put it that way. But could you even call this a battle? Fire comes down from God out of heaven. And listen to this, it doesn't just scorch them, it devours them. And so the followers are taken care of, and now we deal with the great deceiver, Satan himself. He is taken, he is cast into the lake of fire. Now, I want you to remember this. This is going to be the final place. He has come out in the final years of the millennial kingdom to deceive and to try to gather a battle against the Lord, against Jesus. But the false prophet and the beast had already been thrown into the lake of fire at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. That would be, you'll see that back in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. But this, would you call this battle, this just a pitiful attempt to take on the sovereign God? When you see this, there's something to remember. It says forever and ever. And I've talked about this in my posts about the foreverness of the people of God with the Lord in heaven forever. We go back into Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, and we see the first reference here in the Old Testament about the joy of eternal life. And as I had shared in our earlier different posts on the different social media, this has been the desire of the people through the ages. In Luke 18, 18, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "What can I do to inherit this eternal life?" Luke 16, 9 tells us, "We will live in eternal dwellings, the joy of the Lord." Psalm 16, 11 says, "We will be overflowing with joy. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy." When you look in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, the foreverness to the believer, it tells you this: when you're sacrificing for the Lord, you'll receive 100 times back of what you've sacrificed in heaven, plus eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 22, you've decided to give your turning away from sin and give your allegiance to the Lord, dedicate yourself to the Lord. That leads to holy living, which is called sanctification, and that will give you the outcome of having eternal life. Romans 6, 4 says, "This now means you're in newness of life." A fantastic word, kainotes, newness, unprecedented dwelling in this eternity, including the idea of a new concept of living in eternity with God, Isaiah 57, verse 15, who inhabits eternity. This is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Romans 6, 23, eternal life, the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, forever and ever. And what happens here, forever and ever? This is the torment and the punishment of the deceiver. It's emphasized here that it's not only saying forever, but the Greek emphasizes it over again, forever and ever. You could say it, you could say, to the ages of the ages. This is going to be continuing again and again and again. I think of Ephesians 2 and verse 7, and it says, "In the ages to come, God will give us, the believers, kindnesses through Jesus Christ." But in the ages of ages here, you're going to see that this will be the penalty of rebellion against Yahweh. This is a complete battle. This is a monstrously just annihilation strewn battle. There is absolutely no fight against the Lord. He is taken care of forever. Isn't it amazing when we look at the progression, or should you say the regression, of the one known as Lucifer, Satan, the dragon? When you see this here, he deceived them. This doesn't sound very great in ceremony. He was cast into the lake of fire. The one who lived in pride, who wanted a grand celebration in any way, receives nothing but just to get kicked into eternal punishment here. I want you to think about this. When you see he was in heaven at the throne, Isaiah chapter 14 tells us that in the prophecy about him being removed from there. He was Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at the description of his beauty and how he was highly regarded. But then he was taken from there, and then he was, as you see in Revelation chapter 12, as we talked about some chapters back, cast to earth, and grasping a third of the angels with him. He's no longer in the domain of heaven. And then what happens? He is put down for 1,000 years into incarceration. Now he's in the lake of fire in the abyss, this bottomless, no escape incarceration forever. Lower and lower and lower. And I think about this, and you think about this as well, on how he has deceived, how he has hurt us, how he has caused so much of the grief in this world. And finally, as people have been calling way back in Revelation chapter 6, "How long, O Lord? When will your justice be enacted?" And you see it here. We are reading it right now. He was cast into the lake of fire. This is what you'd call the final destination for him. This is going to be it when he is then. This is, you see, no other response. Isn't that something? No final speech, no saluting by the angelic army of the Lord here to say, why hasn't he done a fine job? He's cast into the lake of fire. Where would that be? Well, where the beast and the false prophet are. See, there's no formality, no capitalization of any lettering here. There's no formal avenue or dwelling within that domain. He's just cast into there, thrown down there. Some people would say, well, he'll be the king of that. It doesn't even say that he has any authority there anymore. This is it. This concludes the millennial kingdom. And what happens here, whenever we take a look at this, we see then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 28, and it gives us the idea of what is going on here. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, meaning Jesus, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. Do you see the authority here of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? When you see this, you're seeing with no hesitation at all, we are seeing that the Lord is going to be in total charge. He has his full strength here exhibited to everybody. No wonder there's such a praise. And the other two, the beast and the false prophet, they've already been in incarceration for that time. And now you're seeing them joining there. And this is going to be, well, you know, when you have people that will say they believe in annihilationism, there are particular groups that might come knocking on their door believing that the rebellious cease to be. Well, this is one of the passages that tell you, no, forever and ever. I brought this up one time when I was single, new in the ministry. A family had me come over to their house, and they were kind of tricking me, I guess, in a sense, under the guise of having a nice dinner and everything. Then whenever the little one was put to bed, the husband slash father says, okay, now let's talk about what you consider in the Bible. And one of the things he wanted to bring up was this, quote, ridiculous idea of hell. And so I start walking through the scripture about this, and not only was it mentioned by Christ himself, Mark chapter 9, but also it's forever. It's a forever thing. And this man was totally shook. And what he was claiming was he was familiar with the scripture. He hadn't read it. And it shook him down to his very core. And really what happened, I'd like to say that he and his wife looked at the scripture because they handled it. They were just in a cultish group that was distorting it. And when I showed him the truth, rather than having a discourse, they, quote unquote, threw me out of the house. And this is what happens. It's a very uncomfortable thing, but it's a reality. Tormented day and night forever and ever. That means continual. The day and night reference, as you remember this in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15, we had talked about it, that his servants, the Lord's servants, the family of God, they will serve him day and night. And that's just a continual, that's just a description saying this is going to be a continual thing. And as you see here, this will be a continual absence from the Lord. Fear, discomfort, away from the Lord here. When you take a look at this, it is something that is openly showing you that those that would tell you, well, whenever I go and I leave this life, I'll be with all my friends in hell, we will celebrate, and I always challenge them, show me one passage in the Bible. If you are claiming to have knowledge of what hell is really like, show me one passage in the Bible, the onus is on you, where it says that you will have friendships, you will have parties, you will celebrate together, you will even like each other. I'll sit here and wait. Now, I'm not trying to be snide, and I'm not trying to be openly sarcastic. I'm just saying this. You're making a claim based upon your limited thinking and your assumptions, and if you're going to have any regard for the Bible, you see very clearly, tormented day and night forever and ever, absence from the Lord, weeping, all of these things outside, Revelation 22, we'll see this, outside of all the joy of the Lord. So this is talking about the final fall of Satan. Can you imagine when the tempter, the deceiver, is gone from the existence of the Christians? And then the grand celebration will begin in the next chapter. But now we see the next thing. Those that would follow the deceiver are now going to be taken into account. And that is our next podcast. Thank you, friends. God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.